More ghost voices as he stood there with his shadow lengthening into the street. If we were the Gottrocks, you wouldn't have to borrow from your bike jar if you wanted to take your little girlfriend on the loop-de-loop. She's not my girlfriend. She's not my little girlfriend. In his memory, he had said that out loud to his mother, screamed it at her, in fact. But he doubted the accuracy of that memory. He hadn't had the kind of mother you could scream at. Not if you wanted to keep your scalp. And besides, Carol had been his little girlfriend, hadn't she? She had been. He had one more stop to make before returning to his car, and after a final long look at the house where he had lived with his mother until August of 1960, Bobby started back down Broad Street Hill, swinging the gym bag in one hand. There had been magic that summer, even at the age of 50. He did not question that, but he no longer knew of what sort it had been. Perhaps he had only experienced the Ray Bradbury kind of childhood so many small-town kids had, or at least remembered having, the kind where the real world and that of dreams sometimes overlapped, creating a kind of magic. Yes, but, well, there were the rose petals, of course, the ones which had come by way of Carol. But had they meant anything? Once it had seemed so. To the lonely, almost lost boy he had been, it had seemed so. But the rose petals were long gone. He had lost them right around the time he'd seen the photograph of that burned-out house in Los Angeles and realized that Carol Gerber was dead. Her death canceled not only the idea of magic, but, it seemed to Bobby, the very purpose of childhood. What good was it if it brought you to such things? Bad eyes and bad blood pressure were one thing. Bad ideas, bad dreams, and bad ends were another. After a while, you wanted to say to God, "Ah, come on, big boy, quit it." You lost your innocence when you grew up, all right, everyone knew that, but did you have to lose your hope as well? What good was it to kiss a girl on the Ferris wheel when you were 11 if you were to open the paper 11 years later and learn that she had burned to death in a slummy little house on a slummy little dead-end street? What good was it to remember her beautiful, alarmed eyes or the way the sun had shone in her hair? He would have said all of this, and more, a week ago. But then a tendril of that old magic had reached out and touched him. "Come on," it had whispered. "Come on, Bobby. Come on, you bastard. Come home." So here he was, back in Harwich. He had honored his old friend. He had had himself a little sightseeing tour of the old town, and without misting up a single time. And now it was almost time to go. He had, however, one more stop to make before he did.